This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. I guess it's better to say the July 2nd because we don't know when we're going to be doing another one of these, maybe as things start to happen. But boy, did a lot of things happen on July 1st when the free agent signing period began. A lot of trades, a lot of signings. And, of course, let's get it all together with the great E.J. Raddick. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Don. Thank you for that kind introduction. I appreciate that. I'm good. A little bit busy yesterday, but, it's everybody's settling in now, and now we just got to wait for the rest of these various free agents to sign over time. Sebastian Aho, we had an offer sheet, and we had a quick response from the Carolina Hurricanes this afternoon that they are matching the offer sheet. So that's taken care of already. I would have waited probably the 7 days and
let
the Canadians sweat it out. But I guess the Canes wanted to make a statement that they will not be, they have the financial wherewithal to take care of these things. And so that's what happened.
Yep. So he is going to go back to the Montreal Canadiens. Of course, the big story, at least here in New York, or probably the biggest name in free agency, is Panarin inks a deal with the Rangers. I'm hearing, EJ, I don't know if you're hearing the same thing, took significantly less compared to the Islanders' offer to go to the Rangers. I had heard upwards of $12.5 million, which is almost $1 million less than what the Rangers had offered, but he really wanted to be a Ranger, and they ink him up to the contract yesterday.
Yeah, I think, we didn't know a lot about Artemi Panarin's plans, his real plans. I mean, a lot of these guys, too, we don't really know. They don't say a lot. I go back to Zach Parise years ago with the Devils, right? He just repeatedly said, well, we're going to wait and see. And then eventually he wanted to go home, and he decided to sign with the Minnesota Wild. That's what happened. And we don't learn the true feelings until the day they sign. And I think Artemi Panarin was someone that always liked the idea of coming to New York and becoming a Ranger in particular. The Columbus Blue Jackets, from all reports, came in late on Sunday night prior to his contract expiration and offered him that 8-year deal, as they can do. They could have, they could do up to that point of that time when his contract expired. They offered him 8 times 12, from what I understand, which is $96 million. And, he decided to wait it out. Apparently the Islanders and Rangers went back and forth. I think in the end he wanted to be a Ranger, and I think to some degree the agent, Paul Theofanis, did wisely kind of use the marketplace. The Islanders were interested. That pumped up the Ranger offer a little bit. I don't think it hurt the Panarin camp that the Knicks came up a little short in their desire to get players on Sunday. I think there was a little bit more pressure to make something happen on the Rangers side of things. And so the number went up and he decided to come to the Rangers. So in the end, he gets what he wants. And I think the Rangers get a really good player and helps push this, rebuild way further down the road.
Yeah, it certainly does. And that's a big move for them. And they get themselves a really good top line. If Kreider stays, I mean, that's now the question, because the Rangers do have some maneuverability here, but not a lot, considering they're going to have to give Trouba a long-term contract. So they've already had to trade Jimmy Hayes for a third-round pick. Not really value, EJ, but you really kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, right? You got to make the salary cap space. You're not working with a lot of leverage there. So probably more deserving of a third-round pick, but what are you supposed to do? But probably more to come, right? Maybe a buyout of Smith or Shattenkirk. What's the next move here for the Rangers?
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what Jeff Gorton decides to do. I think, they're a little thin down the middle. When I look at their group right now, they have Zibanejad, who is terrific. And then after that, it starts to thin out. It depends how, how things unfold with Kravtsov moving forward. Philip Chytil, if he, is someone that can come and play the middle now. So those are some questions they have to figure out, what the long-term decision is for, on Chris Kreider. Do they want to sign him to a long-term deal, or do they see him as maybe a piece to move, depending upon what kind of options are out there in the trade market? So there's a lot to still work on, but let's face it. I mean, the Rangers have had a really good run. They've got some good young players, as I mentioned, Kravtsov, and, Buchnevich is still a young player, and Kako obviously drafted second overall. I mean, he's a big-time player, and now you add Panarin, so It's interesting times. It's got to be fun time for a Ranger fan as they watch this kind of quick turnaround for the franchise.
Now, you used the word quick because I think the fans have been very patient, right? The letter came out a couple of Februarys ago. They understood it. But you wink at Panarin, that could really accelerate what the fans perceive as the rebuild, right? Where now the expectations are going to be very high going into this season, and not making the playoffs will probably be looked upon as a disappointment rather than last year when it was kind of a fait accompli. So, I'm sure the Rangers are undeterred by this, but I think the patience of the fans may be tested here when you bring in that kind of a significant piece.
Yeah, I mean, the expectation level has definitely been raised, right? So, I mean, when you bring in Panarin, you bring in Trouba, it's changed things a little bit. But that said, there's still work to do, and it'll be interesting to see how they kind of, color in the rest of this picture for the upcoming season. As we talked about Kreider, he's got 1 year left on a deal. Vladdy Domestikov, 1 year left on a deal. He's a versatile guy, so with the additional skill players, does he still fit into the mix? Is Elias Anderson going to take another step forward? They mentioned Kravtsov and Kako. Those are, really high-end pieces. Is Buchnevich going to take another step forward in development this year? And then on the blue line with Trouba stepping in, I mean, that solidifies your number one right spot on your D. But like you said, I mean, Adam Fox is new. What do you do with Shattenkirk? What do you do with Brendan Smith? So they've got they've got a couple of challenging decisions ahead of them. And, of course, Henrik Lundqvist in goal. He's 37 now. Georgiev played really well for them last year. Shesterkin looks like he's going to come and probably play over in Hartford and get himself up to speed in North America. So, I think we're not looking at a team that's ready to win the Stanley Cup quite
No.
yet. I mean, the pieces they're way further along. And I think, that's the biggest thing for fans to take out of it and to have fun watching. Kako and Kravtsov and some of these younger players, Adam Fox this year jumping in. I think that's going to be the fun thing for fans for the Rangers this year. And, hopefully you're on the path a couple of years down the road. Maybe that's a chance to get back in and compete for a cup again.
The other big deal yesterday didn't involve any free agency. It involved a huge trade between Colorado and Toronto, Nazem Kadri. And his 60-plus goals over the last couple of years, along with defenseman Cali Rosen, go over to the Avalanche in exchange for Tyson Barrie. Really good defenseman for the Avalanche. Been there a long time. Alexander Kerfoot, we saw some success from here in the postseason, and picks involved in that as well. So now Colorado is ready. I mean, they are ready to make the run in the West. My main concern, though, will Kadri be suspended for a big game in the future for the Avalanche in the postseason?
Yeah, that will be, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully he's learned his lesson. He's a good player. The thing with Kadri is, I mean, he's got a great contract. I believe he's like around 4.5, 4.25. He's got 3 years left on his deal. So all that stuff is really terrific. He's a good player. He's a second center, and that's really what they needed in Colorado more than anything was that second center. So they're able to get that guy that can come in and be cost certain in their lineup for a couple of years, and slides in right nicely behind McKinnon. They had some excess on defense with the arrival of McCarr and the draft pick of Bowen Byram and a number of guys, Sam Girard. I mean, they are loaded with young talent on that team. So Tyson Barrie's a real good defender, though, or a real good defenseman. He's more of an offensive guy. But I think he's, he hasn't gotten the credit maybe he deserves. He goes to the big market and the big stage in Toronto in his contract year, so he couldn't really ask for much more. He's going to get a great opportunity to showcase himself. I don't know if it's a long-term thing for the Toronto Maple Leafs because of the cap circumstances there and the eventuality of the Mitch Marner contract will change the dynamic of that group. But, I think it's one of those deals that's good for both teams. And, the Leafs also pick up Kerfoot, who's a guy that can come in and play on their team and fill a role as a third or fourth line player that can maybe move up in the lineup a little bit and provide some offense. It's funny how things go with these college guys. I mean, we saw it with VC, we see it with Kerfoot now. There are guys that were college free agents. They opted not to sign with the teams that drafted them, Nashville in the case of VC and the Devils in the case of Kerfoot. And, they end up signing and thinking they're going to be locked in with the teams they sign with, and VC gets moved to Buffalo. and you know, and Kerfoot gets moved you know, east to Toronto in this deal. So it's just part of the business. But I think really a good hockey trade for both teams, and you know, who knows? Maybe these two teams will end up in the final.
That'd they be really could be.
They were playing, and that'll be a perfect time for Kadri to take that 3-game suspension.
Yeah, exactly. Just at the wrong time. But Belmar is a nice character guy for them. I think Donskoy can have some major points there. He's been hovering around like 30. Maybe he can be a 50-point guy with all the firepower that the Avalanche have. I think the Avalanche have done a lot of good things getting primed for, you know, what was already a playoff team and now making those strides into becoming a team that could come out of the West.
Yeah, you know, Belmar is a nice addition. I thought he got a little bit more than I would have wanted to pay him at 1.8, sure. You know, for 2 years. But what I like about him is he's a terrific character guy. You know, he can win some faceoffs. He kills penalties. I thought the Buffalo Sabres should have tried to get in on him, and maybe they did. And, you know, Colorado was a much more appealing place, and the fact that they were willing to go to 1.8 over, you know, on a 2-year deal, maybe that made the difference. But, you know, he did have a connection with Ralph Kruger from Team Europe. And the Buffalo Sabres are trying to create, like, a winning culture. And I just think a guy like that is terrific to have in your room. And so another good addition for a couple of reasons for the Colorado Avalanche as they move forward. I mean, they are going to be a good team, I think, for a long time. And, you know, they've got to get Rantanen signed. But I'm sure Joe Sakic is working on that as we speak. And, you know, this is going to be a good team.
And I don't know if you've noticed this, the Islanders getting a lot of heat, Lou specifically. I can't blame Lou for Panarin saying no to more money. I mean, they got Lee, they didn't lose him, they didn't lose Eberle, what they thought maybe they would lose. Varlamov, I think, is an upgrade in goal. What do you think of what the Islanders did and didn't do here in free agency?
Well, I would disagree with you about Varlamov. I don't necessarily think he's an upgrade. I mean, he's three years older, he has a history of a lot of injuries. Now, I know in Colorado it's different playing there and then going to be playing for Barry Trotz and that group where they're going to play really a defense first and it's going to be easier on the goaltender. But he has had some injuries. The numbers have gone down. He is older. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, Robin Leonard had a hell of a year last year.
He did.
And, you know, it's hard to figure why, you know, they couldn't figure out something with Leonard, but perhaps they just felt more comfortable with a guy like Varlamov who, you know, he has done it for a while now. And with Leonard, there is, you know, the history there and the challenges that he faces. And maybe there was just some concern that, you know, moving forward on a multi-year deal, there was just some worry that he was going to have some other struggles or not able to have the kind of year that he had last year. So for whatever the reason, they go to Varlamov. Apparently, he's got some kind of relationship with Sorokin, who's the goalie in the KHL, that the Islanders own his rights, and they're hoping that he comes someday in the future to play for the New York Islanders. And by all accounts, he's a very talented goaltender. But, you know, like I said, I think at best it's a wash. And if Leonard goes to Chicago and plays really well again for the Chicago Blackhawks, I think the Islanders might look at that one as a miss. But in the end, they still have a good duo with Varlamov and Grice. They're hoping for Sorokin down the road. And you're right, they didn't really lose any pieces. They're disappointed not to get Panarin. But I think really in the end, Donnie, when you really sort it out, I think that Panarin always wanted to be a Ranger. And it was just a matter about driving the money up to a place that he felt comfortable. And he was able to do that.
Yeah. I think we're kind of on the same page. I just look at Leonard and Grice, and I thought that they were a byproduct of the system that Trotz played. The numbers were almost identical. And yeah. Leonard was a great story. I'm just not sure where you can go with him. There's a team that made it to the second round last year. I'm sure their aspirations are to go higher. Varlamov has more postseason experience. He's 31. You're right. He's banged up, but maybe he doesn't have to, you know, face 35, 40 shots a night like he did during those years in Colorado when they were the worst team in the league. And he kind of just was their only, you know, chance of ever winning a game. So I do think it helps, but I think Lou has a plan. I think he'll figure it out. And I can't kill him for Panarin saying no. I mean, if those rumors are true, that he could have had $12.5 million and takes $11.6 from the Rangers, what are you supposed to do? If the guy's going to take a $900,000 pay cut a year to play for a team, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think he wanted to be a Ranger. And I think in the end, you know, Islander fans should look at it this way. Lou being in the bidding drove up the price. And the Rangers have to deal with a pretty significant cap hit there. I mean, that's $11.8 million over 7 years. So if Panarin is the player that we've seen in the past, then it's a great signing for the Rangers, but it's still expensive. Inevitably, over 7 years, the production is not going to be as high as it is right now. And, you know, maybe the Rangers won't be as excited about that $11.8 million cap hit. But right. You know, for the Islanders, they were in the bidding. They were hoping to get him. It was clearly somebody that was on their mind. And, you know, in the end, I think that the player just would rather play for the Rangers. And, you know, the Islanders have to deal with that other factor of, you know, in a straight-up sales situation, the fact that they are playing in those two buildings, I just can't imagine that is something that is a great selling point for a guy right now. I mean, it's nice that they have Belmont coming, and Lou assured everybody again that the shovels are going in the ground, that it's 100%, and that's great. I've lived in this area a long time, and I always like to wait until I actually see the shovels in the ground. But the reality is that, you know, for a guy signing right now, playing in two places, it's just not optimum for a guy who has a choice to do one or the other. So the Islanders had a great season last year. They had two number one draft picks a couple of years back in Dobson and Wahlstrom, who have a chance to come in and be part of this team, you know, moving forward. They had some real growth with their young players. They have Matty Barzal there. I mean, they have a good team still. I'm really happy they kept Dodgers lead. You know, Barry Trotz is a good coach. They will play the same way. They will try to play a similar way this year, and we'll see how things go. Because in this league, as you well know, Don, I mean, things... it's so tight, and the difference between winning and losing is very slim. And you could have 103 points 1 year and maybe have 88 the next year. So the Islanders will get to work, and Lou will go out. I would imagine he'll add one or two more pieces to the puzzle when he can.
And then you look at Dallas in the West. They came within a game of going to the conference final. They had Pavelski, Perry, and Sekera. To me, they're just trying to see if they can't extend it further, right? Just because I don't look at Dallas, I don't look at these moves as long-term fixes. I mean, this is a team that believes that adding these three pieces can take a team that was a whisker away from going to a conference final and taking a step further. I don't see any of these guys helping the, maybe Pavelski, but Sekera has been banged up in Edmonton. Perry, we saw his injuries and his age, right? This is just striking while the iron's hot, right, for Dallas?
Yeah. The Dallas Stars were one goal away from beating the Blues last year in the second round, and the Blues obviously went on to win the Stanley Cup, right? So they feel that they're close. They have a really good goaltender. They have a good young coach in Jim Montgomery. They have really some star players there that need some offensive support. They've got to try to score some more. They have one of the really finest young defensemen in the league in Merrill Haskinen. They've got some other good defenders there as well. This is a really good team, and what they added was some experience, some grit, some goal scoring with Joe Pavelski, and I just think that Jim Neal was looking to add some pieces to try to get over the hump now, and I agree. I think it's those the players they added are short-term and, you know, 1 or 2 years, but I think they feel like they're close, and I like the young players, Hintz and Dickinson, who really stepped forward for them last year. They got some other young guys coming, so it's a mix of some older guys, along with their top-end guys, and then some younger players that have been important for them. So if Ben Bishop stays healthy, I expect the Dallas Stars to be a handful.
All right, let's read some tweets before we send you on your way for your summer here.
All right.
Let's see. Ben asks the question, so the Canes are matching the offer for Aho. What do you think the Habs will do? Will they go after Braden Point or someone else, or just bring up younger players because they have something like $11 million in cap space?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jake Gardner would be a really good fit for them.
Yeah, right.
Because he's a terrific skater, a terrific puck mover. I know there's some concern about a back injury he had, but I think that, you know, not having seen the medicals, you know, just having gone by the reports, it seems like he's going to be okay. But you think you can put a puck moving guy like Jake Gardner alongside Shea Weber? I mean, Shea Weber is longer in the tooth now, but he's a good defender. It'd be a nice pair when you think about the skating ability and the offensive upside that Gardner brings, and then paired with a guy like Weber, who is just a physical, you know, a strong physical presence in the D zone. You know, if you have money to spend, and the Montreal Canadiens have something to spend right now, that might be the way to do it. I don't think they're going to get back into the restricted free agent offer sheet game. I think they targeted Aho as a top center, that would have been a great fit for them. I mean, it was a great idea to target him. I just don't think they pushed hard enough on the offer sheet. They probably should have went to the next tier to make it a little more difficult. But in the end, the offer sheet game is, if you have to just blow the player out, you have to blow the other team out of the water and make it just impossible
right.
to sign the player. And then you're when you do that, you are surrendering 4 first-round draft picks. So it's a real challenging thing. Some Islander people have asked me about the Mitch Marner thing. I mean, I just don't think you'd have to get to that level. That's the 4 first-round picks, and you'd have a huge cap hit. You're making the player the most wealthy guy in the National Hockey League. I think that's a lot to do to get the player. In the end, we've seen it doesn't really work if you don't get the player. And if you don't get the player, why do it? So Carolina made it clear that it was never an issue for them. And really, Donnie, when you think about the offer sheet, if somebody offered you Sebastian Aho for like the 23rd, 51st, and 90th pick in the draft, I mean, would you make that trade? Probably not.
No.
And that's what basically the offer sheet was, the first, second, and third round selection. So the only issue was Tom Dundon, as a kind of a wild card owner, what he was going to do, but he stepped up and even joked about it. He said writing the check wasn't that hard. So Aho stays in Carolina, and that's a good thing for that franchise.
I tweeted back when I saw that news that apparently it was too hard to write it for Chuck Caton, but that's another story.
That is another story.
Chris asks a question. It's kind of, he goes into great detail, but I'm going to just summarize it this way. And I've thought about this with other sports too, because it impacts other sports besides hockey. You got a salary cap of $81.5 million, but Dallas, Tampa, Florida, they work under much easier conditions with no state tax. Would the NHL, would the league ever make an adjustment to help the teams that have, like, onerous state taxes to kind of balance it out? Because, let's face it, Dallas's money, the money that Dallas offers, the money that Florida offers, the money that Tampa offers is worth more than the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, or the Kings, or the Ducks because of the outrageous state tax. Is there any way that the league can balance that out?
Well, I mean, I don't know if we want to call it outrageous state tax. I mean, that's part and parcel of having a society. So, I mean, that's another discussion, right? But the reality is that in those other places, they don't have the state tax, and that does create a benefit for those players. And it's something that all of the sports leagues have to deal with, right?
I mean, yeah.
Teams in all the leagues that are in that circumstance. So I don't know exactly what you can do to remedy it, but I'm sure that, from an NHL standpoint, I'm sure that, Bill Daly and Gary Bettman have probably had conversations about the circumstance. I don't really know if there's anything you can do to remedy it moving forward, and I just think that maybe the cost of doing business in particular places.
Yeah, now when I say the odorous or outrageous, what I'm saying is, for people that don't understand, is that California's got a 13% state tax.
That's right.
Florida has zero, so that means
zero.
If I offer the same amount of money as a team in Florida or Texas, that's a 13% difference, and so the money isn't really equal. So
that's right. Look at Matt Duchene. I mean, he was thinking about Montreal and Nashville right now.
Right.
Tennessee, I don't think has a state tax either. And so Montreal in Quebec, I mean, there's significant taxation on those on people there make, many, and certainly at a high level that someone like Duchene would make. So that was probably a consideration for him as well in making that decision. Now, Matt always wanted to go to Nashville, so maybe it wasn't as tough. But, those are considerations for the teams in those places, and it does make it more difficult.
All right. NJ Chris 30 says, do you think the recent additions to both the Devils and the Rangers are going to reheat the rivalry again finally? And so far, out of the two teams, who, in your opinion, has had the best offseason?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'll say is I don't know about reheating the rivalry. I mean, I guess the teams have been struggling. The Devils were in the playoffs 2 years ago. Both teams missed last year. But you might have called this game, Donnie. I'm sure you're aware of it. But one of the last Ranger-Devil games of the year was a really good, nasty game.
Oh, yeah.
Between the two teams. I think it was in New Jersey, and I remember that it was like, boy, these two teams really go after it. So, yeah, when the teams are better and there's more on the line, yeah, the rivalry will get jacked up from that standpoint, and I think there's no question the teams are going to get better, and that will definitely impact that. I think you know, both teams have done well in the offseason. You know, we have the Hughes-Kako situation, so both teams scored well there. I think long-term, I believe Hughes is probably going to be have more upside, but Kako is going to be a difference maker and an all-star in this league, I think, if everything goes well with him. The Rangers added Trouba. The Devils added Subban. I mean, I like the term for Subban on 3 years there, and, you know, Trouba's going to get a longer deal, but he's a younger player. I think they both, you know, provide strength on the right side of your defense. So that's good news. The Rangers have some other really good young players coming. The Devils have Nico Hischier, who was the first overall pick, going into his third season this year. So, I mean, you know, the Rangers probably have had probably moved forward a little bit more in this postseason. Obviously, when you get Panarin, it makes a big difference. But, you know, both teams, I think, have to be happy with the direction that they're moving, really. And I guess we'll see what happens with the Devils with Taylor Hall, how that's going to play out over the next, you know, 12 months.
Yeah, that's going to be big. And I still think, you know, we'll see who the goaltender ends up being. Got Corey Schneider's obviously the bigger cap hit. Will he play well? Did seem to play better in the second half of the season, but certainly they have to address the goaltending situation. Robert asked.
Yeah, both teams have that issue, right, of older goaltenders.
You're right.
That are kind of transitioning. I mean, you know, so both teams have a little bit of a concern there, I would imagine. It seems like the Rangers have the underneath maybe a little bit more fortified, but, you know, as we've seen, that can change quickly.
Now, Robert wants to know, kind of jokingly, but I guess it's possible, with the Wild signing Zuccarello, any chance that they will put Zuc with Parisi and Zucker and make it the Zach Zuc Zuc line?
I guess. You know, I don't know who centers that line, so that's probably the thing that holds that back.
Right, maybe on the power play or something.
Yeah, I mean, the Minnesota Wild are an interesting group because they got an older team there.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, you think about it, they've got some really good players, but they're older players. And, you know, I thought Matt Zuccarello was such a good fit with the Dallas Stars, and I think the reason, it was twofold why he didn't stay, is that he wanted a longer term. And I think the Stars were more interested in a three-year term like they did with Pavelski. And the first-round pick of having to surrender a first-round pick if they were going to re-sign Zuccarello, I think, was weighed heavily on them as well. But, you know, hopefully, I know Ranger fans love Matt Zuccarello. He's a clever player. He's a fun player to watch. I wish him well in Minnesota. I just think it's a tough go there because, you know, again, that's an older group there, and I think a lot of things are going to have to go right for that team to have success this year.
Well, listen, really thank you all season long. It was terrific, sometimes doing things at the last minute, sometimes doing things on the road. We will try to tap into you during the course of the summer as things begin to break, but right now, just enjoy your summer.
I will.
All right, and I know I've got the softball on August 3rd. I don't know if you're around, but we're doing the softball on August 3rd. I try to give you a break because you live so far away, but the invitation is always open to you.
I appreciate that, and the times that I've come, I think I came 2 years, and I really enjoyed it. I think this year we have the youth hockey tournament that weekend. My son is playing, so I think that's going to be a tricky weekend, but you never know. Things can always change. Are you headed down the shore this year?
I will be down in Ocean City August 17th, that week.
Okay.
Saturday to Saturday. So let's get a meal. What do you say?
Let's do that.
I'll just put the twins on the beach, let them fend for themselves for a couple of hours. Yes, you got
to
see the kids. They'll be fully conversating by then, I think.
What do they do when you're on the beach with that antenna doing like that, you know, that radio show on the beach? I mean, what do they do then? I know you never stop working.
Yeah, if I were to do that, all joking aside, if I were to do that, then I think Nancy would file for divorce immediately. She does not. She wouldn't even stand me doing a hit for somebody. I would just be if I had the Comrex down there for the shore. Forget it. We'd be done.
Yeah, that'd be it. Huh?
I need to decompress too. But you know what?
All right, well, that's good.
It was a great season. It was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to catch up with you again. If something does break and we need to get your expertise, we'll do another one. But otherwise, you know, maybe we'll talk in September as we get ready for the 1920 season.
Oh, boy. Amazing.
It is.
Amazing. All right, buddy.
All right. Love you, brother.
Take care.
All right. That is the great EJ Raddick. What a phenomenal season for everybody. This is the way it's going to go moving forward. Obviously, if something significant breaks and we want to do a podcast around it, we will definitely do it. But the majority of stuff was done with Duchesne and Panarin and Zuccarello and the trade between Colorado and Toronto and, you know, Lee going back to the Islanders. And if I'm forgetting any, I apologize. Simmons going to the Devils and all that. But there's still some things that are at play here. And we'll just see how it goes. So pay attention to me at Twitter at Don LaGreca. And if something does happen, we put together a podcast during the course of the summer. I want to give you a bit of a heads up for that. But right now, it looks like we're kind of wrap things up. If you want to get in touch with me during the course of the summer, you can do that, because one of the reasons we do this every single day is because of you. Your reaction, your tweets, your interaction is just absolutely amazing. We love it so much. So thank you so much for participating in this. You make it so much fun to do. If we didn't get to your tweets today, I'll try to get back to you personally. Again, questions, comments, criticisms, you can do it all summer long at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. So I'll be in touch. I'll be within arm's length for you during the course of the hot summer. But then September, we'll start putting together some preview shows, start getting some guests to get ready for what should be a tremendous 2019-2020 season. So everybody have a great summer. Enjoy yourselves. Have some fun. We'll talk to you again sometime in September. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great summer. And you've been listening to Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.